You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hello, listeners. We're so excited. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. This is our very first Ask Me Anything show. We're not sure if we should call it Ask Me Anything since there's two of us, or is it an Ask Us
should
Anything?
Should we pluralize?
What is that word?
Pluralize.
Okay.
Ask Us Anything.
But regardless,
we are so excited. We are bringing your voices, our beloved listeners, to the podcast. And this is a way for us to really help as many people as possible. We get emails, we get DMs, we get questions in person, we get questions on our workshops. We wanted a place where like we're giving out some juicy answers and we're like, wait a second, how can we serve more people? Because anybody that listens knows we want to up-level what it means to be a host because that in turn helps our entire industry and every single guest day. And so that's why we're doing this Ask Me Anything episode. We want it to be your voice. That is very important to us.
You're going to play your voice, hopefully if everything goes well here at Tech, we're going to play your voice or the voices of
our listeners.
Yeah, here on the podcast so you can hear their question in their voice and then we are going to answer it right here on the podcast. So we'll coach them, but also in turn coach all of you. So what you're saying, Annette, like what's one person's?
If something that seems most personal is actually the most general. So ask your question. I'm sure there are many, many other people that have the same question and we want to answer them. And what's amazing is this is going to be another episode every week. So we're going to have two episodes a week for you. A little shorter content here. We're going to make sure we answer the questions and we will put in the show notes the link to ask your question. And you can do it on your computer, you can do it on your phone,
yep.
But you do need to record your voice. So come be a part of our podcast. Instead of like STR share, our hashtag now, it's like share your voice. So Sarah, let's get on and start playing,
okay.
Answering the first questions.
All right, here's our very first submission.
With a pending recession, does it still make sense to invest in a short-term rental if I'm financially able to?
All right, number one, that was from Paige. She didn't tell us her name. Paige, thank you for submitting. We also love the
authenticity. Yeah.
of the noise in the background. But let's just listen to it one more time. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's very quick.
Okay. Let's do it.
With a pending recession, does it still make sense to invest in a short-term rental if I'm financially able to?
I think the key there for Paige is financially able to.
Mm-hmm. She said, pending recession, should I still invest if I'm able to in a short-term rental?
Here's my thing is a lot of people acquired their wealth during recessions. If you flip your head on and if you're in a financial position, and Paige might be because she said if you're financially able to, this is when stuff, you know, a lot of times will go on sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If people maybe bought at a higher price point and maybe too high, didn't run their numbers right, so they need to like offload that property.
And also financially able, maybe this is the time, maybe let's say there was a property you were going to buy for, you know, $500,000 and put a deposit down. Maybe you buy something at $450,000 or $400,000 and have a little bit more liquidity. It really is about your comfortability, but it's real estate. We feel it's a really solid investment for you to make long-term. But Paige, we would recommend run your numbers on short-term, mid-term, long-term, and if you were to have to resell. So I would run it a couple of different ways there. But great question. Thank you, Paige. And buy the short-term rental and let us know. Send us a follow-up saying you did it. All right, let's go to this next question.
Hi, I'm Troy. My Instagram handle is smithyort. I have two questions. My first question is, what data do you recommend using or filtering through when looking at short-term rental data websites like AirDNA. My next question is, what quantitative components and criteria are most useful when you're acquiring a new property? Thank you.
Okay, we're not super crystal clear on what Troy is wanting, but we're going to take a decent
stab at it. We're going to answer what we think he's asking.
And actually, I think, so I wanted to also say about Paige is when you mentioned, like, you know, dial in your numbers and also understand the market you're in. What is the market like, the short-term rental industry there? But the cool thing is that everyone's sending these questions to us. They want to do the short-term rental framework, which is nice. And if you buy it with numbers that are the long-term rental numbers, you have some room to pivot. And that doesn't even take into consideration selling the property. So Troy, okay. So Troy asked what kind of data is interesting on AirDNA. What do we look for? So I'm not sure like what our goal is with that data that we get on AirDNA. So sometimes your goal is to search for a quality property manager. Did you know that AirDNA will list for you the top performing property managers in your area? So maybe you want that data. Mm. Maybe you want the data of, you know, what properties are performing best in terms of like how many beds to baths ratio. And so you want to maybe filter it that way. I mean, AirDNA is a really great place to get data that you don't have to search yourself
mine yourself for.
And then I think Troy's other question has to do with analyzing a potential property. And so I wrote some notes down because I didn't want to like forget anything because it's an important process of acquiring a new property. And so you want to figure out what your revenue is going to be for the property. And then of course you want to figure out what your expenses might be so that you can get your net operating income. Right? And that's going to tell you whether or not that property fits into your goals. And remember, we're not going to give you any stats like a certain percentage of cash on cash because we believe that you're acquiring property for many different reasons. It could be your family vacation. It could be to offset your downtown city getaway. It could be for cash flow. It could be a place to park your money, get that tax shelter, and all you care about is appreciation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. The interesting thing about short-term rentals is that our expenses can be variable. There are aspects of the property that aren't variable, like mm-hmm. your mortgage and most likely taxes and things like that. But then you also have other things that are variable, like the consumables, property management, whether or not you're going to outsource that or not. And then revenue, when it comes to revenue, the things that matter are the area's occupancy rates and, of course, your average daily rate. And people might throw around the acronym ADR, mm-hmm. your average daily rate. You can get that information, Troy, from AirDNA. Yep. And that's a good place to do it. I wouldn't head to the OTA and try to, what'd you call it? Mine it yourself?
Yeah, mine the data.
Because someone might block their calendar off for many different reasons.
It could give you some, they might be using
skewed
it.
Info.
Yeah, it could be very skewed.
Yeah. So what you're going to want to do then is take your the average occupancy percentage of the month, multiply by the calendar dates in that month, right? And then the average daily rate to get your estimated monthly income. Now, if you're in a property like Annette and myself, you're in a metro market, we don't really have like an off. We have like maybe January and February is slower.
Down. I would say down. Not completely high-low. We don't have high-low.
But if you're trying to run an equation for a vacation rental, like a beach town where you really do have a high-low season, you definitely want to do it by month and figure out what your estimated monthly income is. So that vacation versus metro market for a short-term rental is, you need to understand what you're looking at. And then you're going to subtract that from your expenses to get your net operating income so you can really decide if this is the right investment for you. So there's so many other factors we could throw in there depending on what you're trying to do, Troy, but we hope that was helpful for you. And thank you so much for submitting your question.
Yep. All right. Last but not least, let's play this question.
Good morning. This is Matt Lynch, and I have purchased a home in Wilmington, North Carolina. And in my opinion, I believe that that home is a 3-for-1. The entire house is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a guest house that I am renovating in the back. And one of those bedrooms in the main house could be considered a mother-in-law suite because it's going to have its own bathroom, its own little living space, and its own entrance to the house. I purchased the home because of the outside. It's got a beautiful deck, fire pit, outdoor TV with a fan. The deck connects to a cowboy pool, as well as they have an outdoor shower and just plenty of space for activities. And so my question for you guys was, what is my best way, once I have my listing up and running, to communicate to potential guests that it's a shared space? The house, guest house in the backyard, which is fenced in, is all relatively close to each other. And so I just don't want to run into a situation where one couple is maybe wanting to use the cowboy pool or sit out at the fire pit or something like that. And I just want everyone to have their own space, but also understand that it is a shared space. And what's just the best way to not only communicate that to guests, but also to sell it. Thank you for everything that you guys do. And I look forward to listening to your advice.
Matt, you just hit the jackpot.
Yeah, we are super jealous. Number one, Matt, congratulations. We talk about base hits and home runs, but this one sounds good that you have this 3-for-1 property. So we are going to break down a couple of scenarios for you, how you can make this work.
Well, if Matt was here right now, I would ask him this one question, which is, to enter the property, do you need to go through the shared space? Like to get to the, what was it? There's a carriage house?
Yep. Well, it's like a small house in the back, okay. The mother-in-law suite, and then the main house. But they all three have separate entrances, but I don't know if it shares in the backyard.
So that's kind of a big variable that I'd want to know, Matt. But I will tell you that, number one, this is how I got started in the short-term rental. So my first home, which was in Astoria, Queens, it was a single-family home that we shared with a home that we didn't own or do anything with. But the basement had its own entrance. And so right away, we were like, well, at first it was rented out to friends, but they had their own entrance. You know what I mean? And they didn't have a kitchen. And so we just put this door in and we gave them a refrigerator and a coffee maker. They had their own bathroom. It was like a hotel room. Mm-hmm. But doing that really, we cash flowed in New York City with that. But it was a great way to break up the space and diversify the home.
Right. Well, I think what he's concerned about though is how can he communicate mm-hmm. to those three guests, like how yeah. do they share that backyard? Do you just say like the mother-in-law suite, do you not take pictures of the backyard and that like whoever pays the most gets to use the backyard? I think that's his concern it's a beautiful backyard, it sounds like. And he wants to say, hey, this how do they break that up? How is it not consumer mm-hmm. confusion, if you will? I know, Sarah, that you host a house where it's a carriage house, huge basement and a full house, like 7 bedrooms, and there's a hot tub in the backyard and a gorgeous fenced-in backyard. How do you break that up? Who gets to use the backyard? Who gets to use the hot tub?
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. You know, even back in New York, it was all about, like Matt asked, like, how do I communicate? How do I sell this, too? Whether or not, you know, he figures out how they're going to share that backyard. It's how do I sell it that this space, while private, you know what I mean? Like, you are connected with other spaces. And honestly, it's just being as clear as you can. And Annette and I always believe it, for every, you know, pro you list, maybe have 2 cons. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To really just have them understand, make sure it's a right fit. And then maybe we even want to be at first, Matt, while you're just figuring out the popularity and figuring out the kinks. Because especially when you're breaking up a home like this or you're sharing some spaces, like the common space outside, you get maybe price it just right so that people are kind of getting a deal mm-hmm. while you throw some spaghetti on the wall and see how you fit in your market.
And then also, Matt, what we would recommend for you to do is potentially, and we have some episodes about this, creating that for the further months out that people could rent the whole property.
Yeah, for sure.
So we would really try to do that in the beginning. If you could have, you know, a group rent the whole place, that would, to us, be your ideal scenario, is you have a larger group renting all of it and then they want to share the space. So the further out on your calendar, I would try to sell it like that. And as it gets closer, and Matt, also, we don't know if you're living in any part of it at all, but again, what you could do, let's say it is the smaller mother-in-law suite and they're not going to have access to the backyard. Don't even show pictures of it if you want to sell it like that. And they'll book and not even know about the backyard. Obviously, when they get there, but you can let them know, no, that's for the main house if you want to break it up like that.
So answering Annette's question, yes. So we manage a large property. It's downtown Columbus, and it's a beautiful, large Victorian where the owner has a 7-bedroom, we call it the main house, just like you did, the main house, 7-bedroom. Then it's got a basement that's gorgeous, and the ceilings are like 11 feet tall. And then there is, we call them carriage houses here in Columbus. You might call them an ADU, a mother-in-law suite, whatever, a property off back. And so what we decided is just to nip any sort of liability or guest interaction in the bud, and just the main house has access to the jacuzzi and the fire pit and the backyard. But I will say, we have the luxury of the people who access the basement, they don't have to go through the backyard. Mm-hmm. Same with the carriage house. They don't have to go through the backyard. So we don't even talk about the people in the carriage house and in the basement actually do see there is a backyard. But we also And when I say be incredibly clear about the setup of the property, we've learned over time that you can't just put it, you know, in the listing description. Mm-hmm. You can't just put it in your house rules, like booking this space, it means that you understand there is an entire home above you that's also a short-term rental. What we also do now is right after they book, they get that booking confirmation message. It says, we're going to share with you one last time. You are booking a space that has
shared, right?
XYZ. And then also when we share the check-in instructions, we say as a reminder. I mean, because people are going on vacation mode or their kids are tugging at them. And so we really want to make sure it's a good fit.
Yep.
But I will tell you, Matt, this owner is killing it because of the diversifying his property, selling them as three different spaces, being able to have one big event space. I mean, it is a really wonderful way to stretch the value out of your property. So I'm really excited for you. And I hope that you'll tag us when you've got your pictures and your listing ready so we can see what it looks like.
And then we want to come hang out in the cowboy tub.
Yeah.
Tub or pool?
What is a cowboy?
I call it a tub. That sounds gross.
What is that?
I don't know. It's like a metal circular pool.
Tub?
Yeah, I'll show you. I have pics. But all right.
Can we get one?
Matt, Troy, Paige.
Thank you for
being. We'll forever be thankful you are first. Ask me anything. I'm already saying ask us anything because there's two of us. It's weird to not pluralize that. But you let us know, listeners. We'll have the link, like we said, in the show notes. Please ask us your questions. We are here for you.
Yes. And with that, I am Sarah Karakane.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.